So, in McLean County, the Democrats picked up one, maybe two county board seats if an 11-vote margin gets overturned with remaining mail-in ballots. So, blue wave? What blue wave?
Yeah, the one thing we learned from last night, top to bottom, was that it's a divided society with a lot of different opinions, and nobody, there was, I don't think, any clear signal from any level of our society.
Turnout in the city of Bloomington was a touch over 74%. Turnout in Normal and the rest of the county was more than 76%. Bloomington is bluer than the rest of the county, so did Democrats fail their get-out-the-vote effort?
Well, I don't think so at all. I mean, as a practical matter, those are really quite high rates of turnout for most American elections, even during presidential election years. I just think you're seeing the results of the fact that we had a highly mobilized society. We have a lot of people who were passionate about this election. A lot more of the people who were passionate in support or generally associated with Republicans and Donald Trump perhaps had been less articulate in their support before the election, but they came out during the election. And again, I think you're seeing this as a reflection of just the inherent disagreements we have in our society about the way forward.
Pete Davis. President Trump spent his time in the closing days of the campaign speaking only to his base, and he has been quite competitive because of that. Is that a lesson for Illinois Republicans?
Well, I think the Illinois Republicans, as a statewide matter, have a more difficult task, right? So that if you look at, you know, certainly in the post-Jim Edgar era, the context in which Bruce Rauner in particular rose to success had as much to do with the failures of the Democratic Party as it had to do with the inherent competitiveness of the Republicans. And if you just look at the way the politics in Illinois are structured, much like in many other states, it seems to lean inherently Democrat, and there have to be reasons why the Democrats are weak in a particular cycle. I don't know that there are enough mobilizable Republicans in the society with a strong ideological consensus to actually make that strategy effective in Illinois, whereas in a state like Wyoming or some other states, South Carolina, it's a much more competitive strategy.
If a Republican president who turns off suburban women because of his personal characteristics, who has less support because of his handling of an extraordinary event like the pandemic than would be the average in a usual year, whose support on his business record eroded again because of the pandemic, and who messaged only to his base and not to centrists, can do as well as President Trump did in Illinois, should Illinois Democrats worry next cycle if there's a more centrist Republican candidate who may do better in the Chicago suburbs?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's always the great question because, of course, you know, then on the other hand, you don't know that those people who were mobilizable for ideological hardcore reasons would then be mobilized in that subsequent cycle. These elections, this particular election, you know, it's so early and it's not even over yet to fully diagnose or any of the sort. There's no inherent reason that any particular ideological organization or any particular ideological distribution has to sustain itself, right? It does not follow that just because Illinois has been Democratic that it's going to continue being Democratic. What exactly, but the circumstances of this race are so odd, on the other hand, that it seems hard to imagine that they're going to be duplicated in any future context. You know, we're not likely to have a public celebrity president. We're not likely to have a continuing pandemic. We certainly hope we don't. And so, you know, this particular election feels much more so bound up in passion that it's very hard to generalize from other elections. Now, if it sustains itself over time, we're having a different conversation.
Republicans picked up several state House races in Illinois this year. What's going on there?
You know, I keep going back to the same answer over and over again, but it is absolutely the case this cycle that Republicans across the country were much more mobilized than they have tended to be, and this is true in the state of Illinois as well, whether it's in negative reaction to what they perceive as unfair Democratic criticisms, It's certainly the case that once you are a Republican, you're in a district where perhaps you might not have generally participated in, you came out in this particular election, when you're going to vote for Republican for the other seats as well. So I really do think this is a remarkably high turnout election, and where lots of Democrats presumed that it was only Democrats who were going to turn out in high numbers, that turned out to be false. If that sustains itself over time, then the races are likely to be highly competitive over time. If they don't, they'll revert to their default situation of most of the last 10 or 15 years, most likely.
Is negative feeling about Illinois House Speaker Mike Madigan and the Commonwealth Edison scandal actually contributing to those state house races this year?
You know, the particular concerns about Mike Madigan, of course, have been a central issue in many campaigns for Republicans. They were a central campaign issue in the last gubernatorial race, right? And they didn't seem to have a determinative effect there. I don't doubt that for those people who are already upset or frustrated, that is a concern. On the other hand, there was also the Fair Tax Initiative on the ballot as well, and that no doubt mobilized people who might otherwise have not had strong feelings. There's also the Kilbride issue, right? We had a number of touchstone issues that could draw people to the polls and probably induce a pattern of conservative votes among people who support those positions.
So you're saying that the graduated income tax issue actually helped Republican turnout more than it helped Democrat turnout?
Well, it certainly seems like it, right? Because, I mean, you may not be super passionate about a lot of other issues, but if you're a business person or otherwise perceive your livelihood to be at risk because of the tax issue, and of course this has been a consistent issue in all of American politics, but certainly Illinois politics for a while, it's another reason to come out. And once you're already out, why wouldn't you go ahead and vote for the rest of the candidates you perceive as supporting your position?
Surveys over a number of years, though, have shown Illinois voters, by a sizable majority, say they prefer a progressive income tax structure to a flat tax. But it's looking like this election was 55% against that idea.
Right. The polls I saw were a year old, though, right? I mean, I there may have been more recent polls that I didn't find, but when I was looking into it, I think there's a difference between the belief in it in the moment and the belief in it in general. Additionally, there's a package of issues here, right? Again, there are a lot of people who believe that President Trump has been unfairly criticized and unfairly attacked. There are a lot of people who are mobilized by the Madigan question. There's people who are mobilized by the Kilbride question. There are people who are mobilized by the tax question. And whatever the particular trigger that exists for an individual, it then cascades over into other issues, right? So somebody who's actually concerned about the tax issue is also likely to take a more conservatively minded opinion on Madigan and on Kilbride, right? So it's a package of issues that are reinforcing. This has happened before. It happened with some other initiatives, gay marriage initiatives that have been put on the ballot in previous elections in other states, where whatever the intent was, one of the intents was to mobilize people behind that issue so they'd come to the polls.
Well, let's talk about Kilbride. He is the first ever Illinois Supreme Court justice to lose retention. Now, there was $10 million in spending in that race by both sides, and the district that he is in the state has moved rightward since his last retention.
With the money and whatever else in the Kilbride situation, I find it very hard to believe that there's very many people who have an informed thought through opinion on judicial retention in almost any case. So again, because you had this intense partisan mobilization across the board, it's going to have a spillover effect. You don't have to know much. All you have to know is that the people that you like are suggesting that you do one thing and the people that you don't like are doing something else. And based on that level, because it's a low information election, based on that level of information, that's when you move forward, and you that shakes your ultimate vote.
So there was $10 million spending in the Kilbride race. The Supreme Court seat in southern Illinois also attracted big money, and that's continued a trend of the last several election cycles. So is the tradition of non-political court races dead, cremated, and buried, or just on life support?
It's hard to say that it's dead, cremated, and buried, but there's very little about our contemporary politics that is consensus-based anymore. It has become full-spectrum war on every front in every way. And so I would expect that all of these kinds of elections, we're now down to where foreigners' elections, which whatever one thinks about the fact that we elect these positions, they've become much more intensely fought across the board than they used to be, and usually much more intensely fought on partisan lines. So I'm not saying that it's inevitable, but I'm saying it's certainly part of the trend.
Other lessons from the election?
I think I've been struck in the end by the... there's a tradition in the social sciences, certainly in some versions of political science, which thinks about people as rational actors. And it defines their rationality in their kind of direct, measurable self-interest, often defined as economic self-interest. People are clearly motivated by more than just that. There's a sense of identity, a sense of connection, a sense of moral passion behind their votes. And I think that came through. And I think that people, and a lot of people, have been willing to take positions that even their friends and neighbors might be surprised that they took. But they are comfortable now, essentially, almost in a defensive way, saying, this is who I am and this is who I am not. And this we're beginning to see in our politics across the board. It suggests an intensity of politics that's not going to go away anytime soon.